I'm going to step down off the stage just because I don't like to give talks on the stage. So I'm Sean Lucan. I'm a family doc in the Bronx, as Lenny said, and it's a great pleasure to be here. So I have an interest in the food environment, and I have nothing to disclose. I thought I would give a little background. So patients that I treat come from urban, low-income, minority communities, which are disproportionately affected by obesity and diet-related chronic diseases. And we think that low intake of fruits and vegetables and low access to fruits and vegetables may contribute. So this is a very poor quality image, which reflects a very poor quality situation. Can anyone tell me what that is? Right, so it's the produce section of a supermarket in an urban, low-income minority community. So this image kind of speaks to the fact that maybe getting supermarkets into these areas doesn't quite answer the question or do justice to getting, increasing availability of healthy foods. And so certainly others have, proposed different options for improving fruit and vegetable access, produce access in these communities, one of which is the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene in New York City, who came up with this green cart program, so this program of vending fresh fruits and vegetables through mobile street vendors in 2008. And to better understand that program, you should better understand a little something about New York City. So for those of you not from New York, this is just kind of a schematic. So most people think of New York as this island right here, which is Manhattan, but actually New York has 5 boroughs, each of which have their own distinct health issues. And here what we're looking at is data showing reported fruit and vegetable consumption from yesterday. And so the dark areas are the areas where people have the least produce consumption. I'm just going to turn this around. And so what you can see here is, kind of a problem here area up here in North Manhattan. We call that Harlem here in Staten Island, parts of Brooklyn and Queens. And then particularly the Bronx, almost the whole borough is kind of reporting low fruit and vegetable consumption. I'm going backwards. That's not what I want to do. There we go. So it was that data that led the Department of Health to think, where do we need these produce vendors? Where could we improve produce access? And so this is a map of where the department decided to put green carts. You can see here that the colored areas here roughly correspond with the blue areas here. They're not a precise overlap because these are United Hospital Fund areas and these are police precincts, but they're in the same general vicinity. And so what are green carts? So they are these metal mobile carts of prescribed length and size that are licensed or permitted to sell whole, fresh, unprocessed produce exclusively, each with their trademarked green umbrella for the green carts. And so you can see the area in the Bronx, if you can remember, almost the entire area is covered or within the allowable limits for the green cart with the exception of 2 police precincts. And we can blow up on that area. And it's actually a very sizable area. It's about 40 square miles. So the black outline is the Bronx. The green outline is the permitted green cart area where the green carts are allowed. This is my office. That's the hospital. This is the clinic where I see patients. So really, all of my patients are living in this area. I wanted to know more about this green cart program and what the potential implications are. So these are the objectives. So to determine where green carts are, to determine what they're selling, and what that might mean for the success of the program and for community nutrition overall. So I gave a detailed discussion of the methods last session. For those of you not there, that talk will probably be on eEssentials, so I'll just give a brief overview right now. So essentially, I got 2 interns together to go out and drive the streets of the Bronx looking for green carts. And serendipitously, a colleague of mine, who's actually sitting in the back of the room, William Jordan, was also doing a green cart assessment, unbeknownst to me, at the exact same time, and had 2 interns going out on all the buses and riding the bus routes of the Bronx looking for green carts. So we had 2 data sets that we could merge and corroborate, and it was actually really excellent for both of us. Both teams of researchers recorded location and permit number, so we had a unique identification for each cart. And then my team asked vendors what they were selling and also where and when they usually sell. And then in terms of the spatial stuff, we used ArcGIS to kind of plot where the vendors were. And to determine spatial clustering, we used CrimeStat 3 to identify clusters, which we defined as a minimum of 3 carts at a maximum distance of half a mile apart. And then we use ArcGIS for kernel density estimates, which are essentially hot spot or intensity or kind of measures of exposure, which we also put in a half mile, which we considered a generous and even liberal assessment of how far people would be willing to walk to get to produce. And this is what we found. This is the data. So this is what it looks like. So I'll start with the figure on the left here, on your left. And so the black outline is the Bronx. The dark black outline is the allowable green cart area where they're permitted by law. The hatched lines on the outside are surrounding communities. And the hatched lines in the middle are green space and park space. And so what we were struck by initially is kind of the paucity of points. So there seem to be kind of very few points in this kind of large land area. The other thing that we noticed is that at least a few of the points are outside the allowable area, so vending where they're not supposed to be. And then the third thing that we noticed is that this didn't seem to be a random distribution, right? It seemed like there was some intentional placement here and people are kind of right on top of each other. And indeed, when we did formal statistical assessment and mapping, we found actual clusters, and we found 8 clusters. So up here, there's a cluster of 9, cluster of 3, cluster of 12. And so this is right around the hospital where I work. This is right around a shopping center, a university, the Bronx Zoo. So most of these are around areas of high pedestrian traffic. The other thing you can appreciate looking at this figure, so if you look at kind of that kernel density estimate cloud, right, so that exposure area, that accessibility threshold, a large percentage of that area at risk or that desired area where people were having poor access is now covered. So now people are exposed or have access to fruits and vegetables when they didn't. But at the same time, there are still these kind of big desert areas, right? Big areas that are not exposed. Even here, here's a scale bar down here. It's about 2 miles. So, these are like 3 or 4 square mile chunks in some of the neediest communities. And so it's not ideally reaching maybe the people most at need. So the bottom line is, in a statistical sense, there was absolutely clustering, and those clusters tended to be around medical, academic, transportation, and recreation centers. The good news is about half of that desirable area was covered and within the accessibility threshold. The flip side of that is about half of the area wasn't covered, and there's still some place to grow. 3 of the vendors, when we talked to them, at least 3, reported that... 3 were outside the specified area when we looked, but many more reported sometimes going outside the specified area when they could. So they'd go to other neighborhoods, even other boroughs, so sometimes into Manhattan, and sometimes be selling in areas that potentially, were affluent, were not disadvantaged, did not have trouble accessing fresh fruits and vegetables. And at least 3 of the green carts, we didn't assess at all of them, but at least 3 of the 31 that we looked at, sold cookies and sugary drinks in addition to whole, fresh, unprocessed produce. So in direct violation of the law. The bottom line is that, I think this program has done a lot of good. I think it's now covering a lot of ground that did not have access to fresh fruits and vegetables, but certainly, the green carts might not be selling how and where they're most needed in an optimal sense. So the strengths of this analysis is that, we're really the first to look at this, or street vendors in general, but green carts particularly. The Department of Health is doing its own assessment now, and they're looking in all 5 boroughs, so it'll be interesting to see what they come up with now, a year after we did our evaluation. The limitations are, of course, that this is cross-sectional. So, they're in those desert areas or in those areas where we weren't finding carts, it's a question of, were they actually absent or did we just miss them? Were they just vending at a time that we didn't see them or on a day that we weren't there or something like that? Reassuringly, our data was consistent with a set held by the consulting group that provides technical assistance to the department's green cart program. So we're pretty confident about our numbers and the placement. The bigger problem, though, is that we're unable to comment on, vendor sales or profitability or exact customer base. So we don't know if clustering is actually advantageous or if it's a disadvantage for the vendors. We don't know if residents in those kind of desert areas and those areas unmet, you know, might be getting fruits and vegetables, you know, maybe not around where they live, but maybe they work, you know, at the medical center where I work, and, you know, maybe they're getting them there. Certainly I buy produce from the green carts, but I'm not the target audience. And so, you know, more work needs to be done to kind of define the customer base. So kind of the summary is that, you know, there's miles of green cart deserts between these hot spots that are likely around areas of high pedestrian foot traffic, and the question is why? So why are there these big gaps? You know, is it that vendors aren't making it onto the street, or is it that they're not succeeding once they get there? Because these are entrepreneurial efforts. You know, they have to support their own business. If they don't succeed, they kind of drop off. And then, you know, regarding the clustering, is that actually advantageous from a business standpoint for the vendors? So I think the bottom line is that, you know, I think this is a good program. I think it's a great idea. I think it's a viable way to get produce into communities that are at need. I think it has a lot of potential, and it's off to a promising start. But certainly there's some areas for improvement. And future research should look at, you know, some of the things I talked about, so the customer base, the profits, the vendor issues, potential competition from bricks and mortar establishment, and you know, other aspects to determine, you know, what's the best way to best position these vendors to have the most effect on community nutrition and health. So I'm going to leave it there. I do want to recognize my collaborators, which are the first three names here, including William Jordan, who's sitting in the back. Some of the people who funded this work and helped make it happen, and then all of the research assistants and others who made data collection possible. This study is now published, so if you look in the Journal of Urban Health, you can find it from June 2011. And I'm giving another talk tomorrow on street vendors in general and what they sell. So this is just on green carts, but we looked at street carts more generally, so if anyone's interested, and I'm happy to answer questions or communicate by email and answer questions now if anyone has them. Oh, I guess I'll keep it. Yeah, so.